Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, well, Iran, Lee, is promising a retaliation against the U.S., or just a retaliation generally, that will be remembered for centuries if we get involved in this. We also heard overnight from the Iranian news service that witches and demons were sent by Israel to take out Israeli leaders. Iranian leaders. So, yes, it was, what was it? Ghosts, demons, quote, Israel is using ghosts, demons, and witches to eliminate our leaders. That's according to the spokesperson for the Revolutionary Guard. So,
well, when the details come out of what Israel did in preparation for this, which has been years, literally years in the making, it is going to be very interesting for those who are have an interest in military history. There's some details of this that I'm hearing that are just incredible planning and execution of a really great plan.
Yeah. And kind of surprising, too, just how smoothly this has actually gone. I still am a little nervous about parts of it.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll go smoothly. We've got to take these reactors out.
Yeah.
Here is former Assistant Secretary of State Brian Hook, and he is talking about what options Trump has at this point.
What are the cons to joining if American boots would not be on the ground? And presumably, if our first salvo in joining this war is the bunker buster bomb.
I think now the president clearly giving an option for the Iranian leader to come and sort this out peacefully. There are a range of offensive options that I think are before the president, and he's weighing those, you know, based on circumstances on the ground. But that can confuse. That can be helping with refueling missions. It can involve joint strikes with the Israelis, and it also can involve an American bomber taking out the nuclear facility in Iran, which is the most significant of all of the nuclear facilities in Fordo.
Yeah, so those are pretty much the options. Todd Priorly asked Brian, he asked Brian Hook the question everybody wants to know. Okay, what if Iran goes full on cuckoo here? Because the mullahs are nuts, right? I mean, one of their stated goals is to, you know, basically bomb their way into end times.
Right.
And they're nuts. So if they think they're losing, you know, what if they go full, you know, homicidal maniac, right? Well, here's what he said.
If Iran finally realizes that it is losing but still refuses to surrender unconditionally, as Donald Trump has asked, what's the worst it could do at this point? In other words, if it wanted to go out in a blaze of glory.
I think that option set is shrinking. Iran has the largest missile inventory of any country in the Middle East, but Israel has taken out so many of its missile launchers. And there's this huge imbalance that Iran was a vulnerability that the Israelis have exploited with the Iranian regime, that they have more missiles than they have launchers by it's quite a lopsided ratio. Israel has now taken out anywhere between a third and a half of these missile launchers. And as you've seen night after night, the number of strikes conducted by Iran has gone down fairly dramatically. And this has allowed Israel to achieve dominance over the skies of Iran, where they can fly as they wish. So that is a huge accomplishment. Israel did in 72 hours what President Putin and Russia could not do, still has not done over 3.5 years in Ukraine to achieve aerial dominance. So the conditions are much more favorable than they were just a few days ago.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that the ease with which Israel was able to control Iranian airspace even surprised some officials within Israel. So
it's also bad news for Putin and Russia, because Iran has tons of Russian equipment, both the, you know, anti-aircraft missiles and all, much of the other stuff other than some of the drones, which Iran is responsible for its own designs there. This really puts into question the efficacy of Russian military equipment. And I've been questioning that ever since the Ukraine war started, because Russia should have been able to you know, wipe the floor with Ukraine in a matter of days. And they're still fighting that war.
Yeah. You know what? I look at it the opposite way, though. I think Russia has been amazingly resilient. Let me tell you why. We now know from the New York Times that our generals were fighting that war with our equipment against Russia from a war room in Badenburg, Germany. So the fact that Russia has managed not to lose against us in the full-on might of our military running what is, you know, Marco Rubio admitted, a proxy war by us with our equipment, I think is significant. I think it shows that we could battle Russia to a stalemate for sure. And if we ever went full throttle, we could probably win. But Russia's been dug in for years, and so have we. So I don't know. I look at it the other way. I think Russia has done an amazing job considering what they're holding off, not just us, but the full might of NATO in Ukraine. I think they're formidable. But, you know, it just depends on what level of reality you want to admit to. We have fought them for a very long time, and that needs to stop. That's the real danger in the world. I mean, I know I'm going to be alone on this, but when you look at the way Iran has menaced us with the Houthis, with the strikes, in partnership with China, trying to kill Trump, and we're obsessed with Russia. What do we have on them? Like what? One turns out to be fake accusation. They meddled in our election while China was doing it the whole time. We didn't care. You know, maybe what Russia should do is go enslave a big part of the population and make cheap stuff. And then we'll just leave them alone. And we won't have to have World War III. I don't know. I get so frustrated. But anyway, going after Iran is a good sign to Russia that, honestly, I don't care about Russia. Russia isn't my problem. China is my problem. And this is a good time. This is a good sign to China that, like, we're not going to let anyone kick us like a dog anymore. Because China has.
Yeah.
I have the minority opinion on this, and most people agree with you, Lisa.
Well, I agree with your assessment, though, on China being the real issue. And I agree that Russia is not our main problem.
No.
And that's that. I'm in a complete agreement with you. I'm just simply talking about the ability of certain Russian assets to do us damage, whether or not we're behind it or not. That's not the distinction I'm making. I'm simply saying that there's serious questions about the Russian military at this point. But once again, Russia is not our big problem. I agree with you. China and what Iran has been because of its potential for the nuclear weapons. And this is that pivoting moment in history where something can be done. And it's just a question of whether or not we or the world or our allies have the will, the political will, to do what has to be done to eliminate something. It could be amazing what could happen in the Middle East if this were done and Iran's nuclear ambitions were ended now. There could be an amount of prosperity in the Middle East that would never have been imaginable just 4 years ago. I mean, look what happens to America's enemies after wars. Germany, Japan.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm not saying go to war with Iran, but no. I'm simply saying if you eliminate this ability of them to develop and potentially, use a nuclear weapon at some point, then you have, in effect, caused regime change in Iran.
Yeah. And see, it's the regime change thing. I was listening to a lot of people talking about the Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon interview and how Tucker lays out about, Obama and George Bush had other plans, especially George Bush had other plans for, their presidencies, and Bush got bogged down and I bet he regrets going to Iraq and Afghanistan and all of that. And this could happen to Trump. His presidency will be over if he does this. And I would have to say to you, like, no, because what George W. Bush, the mistake he made was not going in going to Afghanistan. I think it was a mistake to go to Iraq, but not going to Afghanistan. It was the nation building afterward.
The idea
that we were going to impose democracy on these people.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. That is a lesson I hope that the U.S. government, our bureaucracies, our Department of Defense, our State Department has learned. We do not need to be imposing our style of representative government on any nation. They should be allowed to decide what they want to do. All I am saying is that the theocracy that Iran has now, this Ayatollah, their concept of they want to take on worldwide jihads, destroy the nation of Israel, they are not being followed by other Arab nations anymore. I mean, you know, Iran really is isolated. Look who they're having to turn to, Russia, for support now.
And Russia's like, my bad.
Yeah.
Sorry. Putin, same with China.
Putin told the Ayatollah, your life's in danger, dude. You know, you got some decisions to make here.
Here's the thing. I believe that if we really want to take it to China, we could put Russia's back up against a wall and make them choose between us or China.
Well, that's what we have to do. We have got to do a better job of pitting our enemies against each other because that's exactly what they do to us. That's what you've got to do from a diplomatic and military standpoint. Make people choose their own nation. Make them choose their sovereignty over, you know, their dependency on other nations. You've got to be a wedge between Russia and China and Russia and Iran and China and North Korea. We've got to put a wedge in there and isolate these people. That's what you've got to do.
And
you can do that with trade. You can do it with diplomacy. You can do it with military power. But you've got to do it.
And by the way, no one's talking about this anymore. The best proposal for that, and this hurts me to say it, came from Lindsey Graham when he was in Ukraine. I don't appreciate him out there conducting his own foreign policy, but he was not wrong. And Trump has never condemned this, right? So 500% tariff on China for buying Russian oil. Joe Biden never shut the back door, and he allowed the Ukraine war to be funded by China, by allowing China to buy the Russian oil. He told everybody else in the world, we're going to put an embargo on it. You better not buy the oil, cut them off, but let China buy it all at discounted prices. And that's another reason we have the problem today. By the way, China's still backdoor buying the Iranian oil, 3%, causing us a lot of the problems there. We never shut the door. We should have sanctioned China 500%. Stop it with the Iranian and the Russian oil. Make them choose. But we never did. So we end up now we have to solve it the way we should never have to solve stuff with just militarily. But we have no choice now. Well,
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
United States of America was really good to Ilhan Omar. Came here from Somalia, ended up in Congress. Started as a refugee, represents Americans now. And her message is, America sucks. That's what she says. That's what most of what she says boils down to. She's very bitter, very angry. Feels very maligned somehow, despite her incredible privilege. As the Democrats would say. And now she's out there complaining that the U.S. is turning into the worst country because Democrats are not allowed to do $20 million more worth of damage to L.A. By the way, that's the insurance estimate so far. $20 million worth of damage. Now, remember, that only includes what insurance covers. So if you're a business owner who got in the way of Antifa's wrath and you don't have insurance, your numbers aren't in that. and 40% of small business owners don't have insurance for property damage. So in Ilhan Omar's America, if you can't impose your will violently whenever you get mad, and that includes if you just don't like laws on the books, instead of changing them, you just go rampage violently, hurt people, hurt their businesses, hurt federal agents, that kind of thing, then America is turning into the worst country.
To have a democracy, a beacon of hope for the world to now be turned into one of the worst countries, it is really shocking, and it should be a wake-up call for all Americans to say this is not the country we were born in. It's not the country we believe in.
I want to play that for one reason. She is the template. She is exactly the kind of immigrant Democrats have been recruiting. They hate America and they can't get enough of them. They need fellow travelers. She hates America. There are not enough Americans who hate America for them to get to the natural conclusion of all of their initiatives, of their ideology. That right there is exactly what they want to bring into the country. And they know if they did it in the light of day, well, normal Americans would freak out. And that is why they have illegal immigration. But America is turning into the worst country, she says. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, we wanted to do $100 million worth of damage, or look, at least $50 million worth of damage, as we did in Kenosha, Wisconsin, while we were allowed to rampage over, it turns out, a very fake race-based hate crime, which wasn't a hate crime at all. And we only got to do $20 million because Trump wouldn't let us. I mean, America sucks. Get taxed. You hear me? Here's the flip side of the coin. Steve Hilton, investigative reporter, being interviewed on News Nation, talking about why Trump had to deploy the guard. And that's what Ilhan Omar is whining about. Why did he have to deploy the guard? Why? Because he's mean and he won't let Democrats burn stuff down. And they don't get to throw bricks at people's heads. And they don't get to trap ICE agents into buildings and burn them down. That's not fair. Well, here's the flip side of that. In Ilhan Omar's America, if it was good, kind of place we'd all want to live. When those ICE agents are trapped inside a building by a crowd with a propensity to set things on fire. Do you see all the burning cars? They would just be allowed to have their way with them, burn the building down if they wanted to. Oh, you don't believe me? Here's Hilton.
We now know that just a little over a week ago, on Friday, when this all started in Los Angeles, ICE officers, federal law enforcement officials, they're doing a job given to them by the President of the United States on a policy platform that he was elected to deliver. They're being confronted by protesters. They are worried about their safety. They're being physically, they feel under physical threat. They requested help from the LAPD, from the Sheriff's Department, and they were denied. And instead of actually stepping in at that point, and Gavin Newsom saying, we can't allow law enforcement officials to fear for their safety and not protect them, he did nothing. And you hear stories now of local law enforcement kept for 15 hours in a parking lot, waiting for orders to deploy as the riots were beginning. Nothing happening. Total dereliction of duty from Gavin Newsom.
And then you have, and I covered it in my Battleground America podcast last week and on the show, then you have the UK Daily Mail reporting that Karen Bass, the mayor of LA, personally went to the LA control room to prevent any dispatchment of police when those ICE agents were calling desperate because they were trapped in the building and surrounded by liberal lunatic protesters. She, for 2 hours, delayed that deployment. And when you read the comments on that message board of LAPD, there's 8,500 on that particular message board, they're flat out saying she could have cost them their lives. She put them in danger. That is why Ilhan Omar is angry. America is the worst country because they cannot rampage and burn. They cannot riot and destroy. As goes on, by the way, in her home country all the time. And its groups get mad, they get angry, they rampage, rob, destroy, burning tires. You know the whole deal. But America's the worst country because they only got to do $20 million worth of damage before Trump stopped them.
To have a democracy, a beacon of hope for the world to now be turned into one of the worst countries, it is really shocking, and it should be.
Texter writes, is it just me or does she sound like Christopher Watkins? I don't know, but there's something with the Democrats today. All the men sound like women and all the women sound like men. Maybe it's just a coincidence. I'll keep an eye on it.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Producer Tim, I want to warn you about a dangerous condition.
Okay, what's that?
Yeah, I want to warn the whole audience. Could rot your brain, or at least break it. What am I talking about? Some kind of chemical RFKs trying to get out of the food? Not this time. No, no. It's the terrible pre-existing condition of working, Tim, more than 52 hours a week.
Oh, no.
I know, it's so sad. New study found working too much literally changes the structure of your brain. They can tell how much you work, you're overworked by looking at a brain scan. And if you go over 50 hours a week, that'll do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It causes significant changes in the brain, the part associated with executive function and emotional regulation.
I wonder what my brain would look like.
Me too, because I got to tell you, 50 hours a week. Pff,
that's like, a lot.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, 50 hours a week for me, that's like if I have Monday off and maybe Tuesday. No, like, yeah, I work a lot.
Well, sometimes I come in, I know I've come in super early before and you were already here. It's like almost like four, right at four in the morning. It's crazy.
Oh, shoot. By then, I've been here for, I'm not going to tell you what time I come in because I don't want people waiting for me in the parking lot. But I come in early.
Yeah.
Very early.
She comes in very early.
Yeah. And I generally stay up late too. So sometimes I just conk out. I'm too tired. But anyway, they say it can, if you work 150 hours a week, 52 is the sweet spot. It can mess with your decision-making skills, cause you to get emotional, fly off the handle a lot, and may also affect memory and attention span. You just get that fried feeling and they can actually see it on the brain scan. Researchers scanned the brains of 110 healthcare workers, split them into two categories, overworked and not overworked. They defined overworked as 52 hours a week or more. Now, they didn't arbitrarily pick that. They took a backwards process. Listen to this. Looking at the people whose brains had experienced those significant function, basically breakdowns, and then they asked them, how much do you work a week? And that's how they picked 52. So,
oh, wow. 50, yeah. 52 hours.
You know that fried feeling, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it, 100%.
It just saps your will to live. It does.
Yeah. You come home and you just like, you just don't want to do anything. You're just kind of like,
I know. And that's always, is it not, when one of the kids or your spouse has a project for you?
Yes.
Honey,
yes.
Let's get this done right now. I lose my mind.
Yeah.
And then you're like, why do you snap? Well, that's that emotional regulation that sort of just goes away, you know, with being overworked.
I've experienced that this week. You know, my son was wanting to do something with me. I'm like, dude, I'm so tired. I can't. I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah. And I kept doing that to him. So now I feel really bad. But
I know.
But we're spending time today. So I'm making it up.
Good. Fantastic. And sometimes it'll be a thing you want to do, but you're just so fried. You're like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Well, here's the thing, you think about this, okay? Because, I mean, like, I was absolutely fascinated by archaeology, anthropology. It's why I accidentally double majored in it in college. I took so many courses. If you think about the way that we lived for a very, very long time, as I mean, I'm talking 100,000 years plus, right? What do we do? We didn't sit at a desk and try to process data all the time. We were out hunting. You know, we were fishing. We were preparing food, but we weren't doing these like very mentally intense tasks that we ask our brains to do now.
Yeah, I would say we started living like this right around the industrial age, and that was only like a couple hundred years ago. So before that, I mean, you're right. We were like hunting and, you know, gathering and building.
I read this ethnography one time, and it was about like farming / feudal times. I mean, it was in the UK, and you would think, wow, those people were just probably worked to the bone. But they actually weren't, because even when we got into farming, which we did for a very long time, for a living combo of farming and hunting, it was back-breaking work for the growing season, which, you know, tops is 7 months out of the year. Really, I mean, here in South Carolina, growing season is 6 months. So you were doing really hard things, but the rest of the year, they really weren't. Once they got the grain harvest in, they got it stored, they were hunting and stuff, but they had a lot of leisure time. We're not like that anymore.
No, it's, constant, you know, running around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe these Gen Zers who want all of these mental health days at work, maybe they're onto something.
Maybe. Yeah. Or they could just, you know, get a therapist like a normal person.
Yeah. I'm still not real sure about going to your employer and saying, I need a mental health day. You know what I'm saying?
I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that tantamount to admitting I'm mental? All I hear is mental. That's the only word that I hear in that.
Although I do want to try that, but I don't know how the boss would take that around here.
Maybe I'll go to Mark and I'll tell him you're mental and you need a break. You think that'll work?
Yeah, we'll have to try that.
No, he'll just come in with that really stern look on his face. Tim, I've heard you're mental.
Yeah, he would.
Okay. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting that they can actually see the brain change. It's not really good for you. Hey, another note, just really quickly. You know how we keep hearing loneliness kills and so many adults are lonely and, it could be killing them not to have friends and family and it'll take time off your life?
Okay.
Well, a new study shows the opposite. Screw friends. Who needs them? Lonely older adults may actually live longer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. This is a comprehensive study finding the opposite. Nearly 400,000 older adults, the largest ever done, found the lonely older adults had an 18 to 23% lower risk of dying within a year compared to non-lonely seniors. I wonder if that's because when you have friends, they inevitably disappoint you.
Yeah, you got to keep your circle small.
Yeah. So, you know, I need no one. I'll have no one in my life, but I will live 18 to 23% longer or something. I don't know. Text, right? Wow. Okay. You know what? This text just nails it. Rush Limbaugh used to say the reason that Americans are so angry and ungrateful is because we're bored. It's because we're bored. Yeah. Folks, my numbers on X are through the roof this week. You know why? It's only on posts where we might have World War III, which we're not going to have. Because you know what? I think you're right. We're bored. We're just bored.
Korea, Mali, Senegal, Guinea. Video our team shot in Arizona
late yesterday. So a lot of you are sending me this Tulsi Gabbard interview. I'm not interview. I'm like statement where she's talking about the intelligence community. And they assess that Iran doesn't have nukes. And they assess that the, you know, Iranian dictator, the Ayatollah, has not reauthorized his nuclear development program. And see, she told us in margin that she knows and it's a conspiracy. The conspiracy. Look, here's the thing, folks. You know I'll fault Trump so fast her head will spin. I'll tell you how it is. You can trust me. I trust Trump on this. I do. Trump is not going to go get in a war for no reason to make money for, you know, people who donate to him. That's not going to happen. But I want to explain real quick this Tulsi Gabbard situation, okay? Because it's really easy to understand. What she says is that the Ayatollah suspended the program in 2003. That is true. Officially. And that Iran claims that they are not enriching uranium. This is March. Okay. Last week, we learned from the IAEA, in probably the most comprehensive report they have ever done to date, that Iran did continue enriching uranium. In fact, they were on the verge of having a nuke, and they were doing it at sites that the IAEA had not been allowed to investigate. They had violated every single one of their previous agreements. That changes everything. And that is the difference. So it's not that Tulsi told the truth, but now everybody else is lying. It's not super duper confusing. It's not hard to understand. It's none of those things. It's really, really simple here. And I have the clip everybody's playing. And if you look, if you play the longer form of it, it makes a little bit more sense. But J.D. Vance is out there explaining, look, no. Yep. Okay. Yes. That was the official intelligence, the IC, which is talking about IC, assessment in March.
Assess that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon, and Supreme Leader Khamenei has not authorized the nuclear weapons program that he suspended in 2003. The IC continues to monitor closely if Tehran decides to reauthorize its nuclear weapons program.
Yes. And that is the official position of Iran. We have not reauthorized the nuke program. She's not wrong about that. That is their official position. However, if you even go on the Ayatollah's Twitter feed, which a lot of folks on our side are pretending doesn't exist, I didn't threaten to kill Trump on it, and that he didn't admit they have nukes on it, when he made the argument, as he has over the last 2 weeks, hey, it's not fair. America gets to have nukes, but I don't get to. No, you don't. No, you don't get to. Not when you are conducting jihad against ships piloted by people that are not Muslim. Not when you are hitting our naval ships with your drones. You don't get to have nukes. You're already at war with us. Not when you're partnering with China to do the targeting of our naval ships. And again, the cargo containers naval ships over 319 times. No, you don't get to. Not when you work with Iran to invade Israel on hang gliders and mass murder families. No, you don't get to have nukes. Sorry, you're too dangerous. This is not the same thing as the UK having nukes, or America having nukes, or anybody else having nukes. This is a maniacal jihadist regime. And folks, that's why I've spent so much time on the Houthis, those Iranian proxies, hitting those ships as they go by in the Red Sea. Why are they hitting them? See, the thing is, there's no logic to it. It's just, we're jihadists. They're not. This is jihad. We're killing anybody who's not a Muslim. I'm sorry, you don't get to have nukes when you behave that way. And so when you have the Ayatollah on his own X feed arguing that if America has nukes, they should be able to have nukes. I'm sorry, you don't get to have nukes. But a lot has changed since March. And look, if you don't believe our intelligence agencies, I get it. Because I don't believe them most of the time. Even today. I still don't think Trump has completely taken charge of him, but I will tell you this: I believe Trump. I truly believe he would not go to war with Iran's nuclear facilities. I don't know if you could even say he's at war with Iran, unless it was really, really necessary. And you know what Trump's thinking? I'll be damned. I will be damned if the people conducting jihad against our Navy and our ships are going to get a nuke on my watch. He's not going to let that be his legacy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.